Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, I'll begin tonight by saying I'm just nervous, not because of the scaffolding by any means, but just because of what it means to bring God's Word and the seriousness that is, the brevity that we have in life to actually find out what God's Word says to us and so forth. But what a privilege and what an honor it is to be here tonight. And I will explain this. There is an explanation for this. But I want us, as we begin this evening, to open up in Genesis chapter 11. Funny thing, as I was preparing this week for this evening, I had no correlation to what was happening this morning in Elevate, but it seemed as though those two elements were kind of coinciding, just as a coincidence, if there is such a thing as coincidence. By definition, there is, but I don't know by God's definition if there is or not. But it was interesting how God reinforced this concept of humility this morning in Elevate in our kids' church that happens next door on Sunday morning. So I just kind of put everything together in one place. This will be God's Word, and I just kind of put it inside of my notes because I'm nervous and I've got a lot of things going on in my brain tonight and different things like that. But together, we want to read Genesis chapter 11. As we talk about the concept of scaffolding, you can kind of follow on the screen. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, that is completely okay, because we know it comes and it goes out, and it is never void. So as we kind of talk together over the next few minutes, let's open up in Genesis chapter 11. Let's make sure that I'm there. I'm not going anywhere. That's okay. There we go. Okay. So we start out in Genesis chapter 11, and this is what it says there in verse 1. It says, "At one time, the whole earth had the same language and vocabulary. As people migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let us make oven-fired bricks.' They used brick for stone and asphalt for mortar." Now, you know, in this passage, this is something brand new. This is not the concept of brick making as the Israelites had known it up to this point. We know that according even to the story of Moses, that the common concept of brick making was to use the sun as the drying agent. And so now they're using an all new method to build these bricks because they want to kind of outshine who they had been before. So now they're using, instead of sun dried bricks, oven-fired bricks. They used brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. King James actually says it's slime for mortar, but they're using asphalt for mortar. "They said to each other, 'Come, let us make oven-fired bricks, use brick for stone and asphalt for mortar.' And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' Then the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, 'If they had begun, if they have begun to do this as one people, all having the same language, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us," notice he says "let us," which is a whole other discussion there, "come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name is called Babylon, or other translations will use the word Babel, which is the Hebrew word for confusion. Therefore its name is called Babylon, for there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Our prayer tonight is that the Lord be praised through the reading of His Word and through our time together. Let it be so, Lord. Amen. We are looking at this. If you'll look there in verse 4, he says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky." Other translations say they wanted to build a tower unto the heavens. Other translations even say into heaven. So they wanted to build a tower from the earth that was as tall as heaven itself. Now, here's the explanation. It's that the Tower of Babel was a ziggurat. And that's an odd word, Z-I-G-G-U-R-A-T. It was a ziggurat, which was common in Babylonian times. The explanation of the ziggurat is that it was a temple-like structure built in a pyramid-shaped tower with stairs or a ramp that gradually was ascending around it, giving the appearance of terraces at each level. Now, the taller ones of these, some of the taller ziggurats recorded of these temples were around 300 feet, which if you can imagine a three football fields stacked on top of one another, that's how tall it was. Or maybe a 30-plus story building. That's about how tall some of these temples ended up being. And they had either stairs or possibly a ramp that was gradually ascending the whole way up around that pyramid-like structure, that tower. The trouble was that this tower was built not to celebrate a deity or even to celebrate the God of all gods, as some others were built, but it was to celebrate the accomplishments of mankind. It was built out of pride. The Lord wanted humility, but the people wanted pride. Humility has many definitions, but hopefully we come to understand humility a little bit better in this terminology. Humility comes from the same Latin word as humus or earth. And so we get the same word human has the same origins as the word humus or humiliate or human. We have humans and humus coming together. Humus meaning the Latin word for earth, knowing that humans were created out of the dust of the earth, which correlates easily to the phrase when we say someone is down to earth, we mean typically that they are humble, that they are not prideful or full of themselves. They are humble or down to earth, or as we would have said ages ago, made from the dust of the earth. They are humble. The deal with what's happening here in Babylon, in the Tower of Babel, is the concept of scaffolding. The folks are building something for their own glory, out of their own pride, because clearly, Scripture stated that they looked at each other and said, "Let us build a tower that reaches into heaven in order that we would make a name for ourselves." That's what they really wanted to do. Now, don't misunderstand humility. I think all of us in the room would love to be remembered for something. That's the whole concept. That's even why we have memorial services and funeral services for people who have passed on, because we want to make a memory from them. We want to remember them in the best possible way that we can. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be remembered, but we've got to live God each and every day louder than ourselves. There's nothing wrong with being remembered, as long as we live God louder than ourselves each and every day. But the trouble with the Tower of Babel there in Babylon is the concept of scaffolding. That they had put up scaffolding that they never intended to tear down. They wanted to build a tower to reach all the way into heaven. And so what they would do was simply by their own 2 feet and the power in their own legs, their feet would leave the earth and walk around the ramp of the Tower of Babel, and they would continue walking around that however many years it took them. They would build first, and then they would invite everybody else to follow afterwards, but they would just continue to build and build and build until their tower reached heaven. And their scaffolding really was never intended to be torn down. It was going to be a permanent structure as they continued to build and to build and to build and to become more prideful of their accomplishments and more prideful of their accomplishments and more prideful of their accomplishments until one day they just walked themselves clear into heaven. There's a problem with scaffolding. Number one, here's what I want to point out, is that scaffolding is intended to be a source of strength beneficial to both the building and the builder. Scaffolding is intended to be a source of strength beneficial to both the builder and the building. Rick Warren has a statement. He says, humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. It's not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. Several months ago, as Pastor Matt preached through the Beatitudes, there was an equivocation kind of there with when we talked about the word meekness and humility. And Pastor Matt said, meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. Scaffolding is intended to be a source of strength beneficial to both the building and the builder. But here's what we tend to do. We tend to use our scaffolding of pride to benefit only ourselves. You see, there in the story of the Tower of Babel, there was no intention to give God any glory. The intention was to bring glory to themselves. Not that the Lord's name would have fame throughout the whole earth, but that they themselves would be known throughout the whole earth. And so when we establish a scaffolding of pride in our lives, when we begin to build up our own accomplishments, we are only benefiting ourselves, and we lack the benefit not only to those around us, but also we lack the benefit of what Isaiah would have called in his book, Isaiah 26:8, the name and renown of the Lord. Scaffolding is intended to be a source of strength beneficial to both the building and the builder, not just the builder. But sometimes we build our scaffolding of pride around our accomplishments, and we only build up ourselves and benefit ourselves. Secondly, I want to share this thought with you, that scaffolding is supposed to be temporary until the project is complete. What I gain from Genesis chapter 11 is that the folks that were building that tower never intended for the scaffolding to come down. We talked about that. That they just simply wanted to continue to build and build and build that tower until it reached all the way into heaven. And the problem was that that scaffolding was never going to come down, but it was just going to continue to build alongside the Tower of Babel, and it was never going to come down because they would always be building until they walked right into heaven. Scaffolding is supposed to be temporary until the project is complete. Lev Vygotsky introduced the world of education to the concept of the zone of proximal development, more commonly known as social scaffolding. I don't know if any education majors are into social scaffolding, but here it is. It's an instructional technique that pairs a child who cannot solve a problem alone, pairs that child with an adult or more advanced peer who can guide them through the process. And that scaffolding, Vygotsky made very clear, is a temporary framework that is gradually removed as the learner masters the task at hand. It's intended to build the child up, and then that framework pulls away, and the child is able to solve problems on their own. You see, scaffolding is never intended to be permanent, always intended to be temporary until the project is done. We can tend to use our scaffolding of pride not only to benefit ourselves, but also we tend to use our scaffolding of pride long term with little or no intention of returning to the level of the rest of humanity around us. What happens when we build up a scaffolding of pride? We remove ourselves from humanity around us. We are not any longer down to earth. We are above all of those around us, celebrating ourselves, making a name for ourselves, and we no longer relate to the people below us because there's too much of a distance there. Social scaffolding in the world of education is intended to help another child, and then it's intended, that temporary framework is intended to be removed once the project is complete. Similarly with a building, when you see something going on, or renovation, or a new building, that scaffolding is up there, but it is temporary. It is not intended to be permanent. Our scaffolding of pride, sometimes we build it up around our accomplishments with little or no intention of ever taking it down. Why? Because we're going to keep needing it. Because we're going to do something great in a little while. We're going to do something awesome after we finish this thing that's awesome. And then after we finish that thing, we're going to do something else that's awesome in order to build ourselves up. And so there's no reason for us to tear our scaffolding down because we keep building upon our accomplishments, making a name for ourselves, building our tower into heaven. And God says, I'm not looking for pride, I'm looking for humility. Your scaffolding of pride only benefits you. You're only making a name for yourself. That scaffolding of pride is supposed to be temporary, and you're making it permanent. Why in the world would the Lord want our scaffolding of pride to come down? Because scaffolding is never meant to be the focal point, but rather the structure beneath or behind the scaffolding is. The structure beneath or behind the scaffolding has always been intended to be the focal point, not the scaffolding itself. You see, what you and I have done, what you and I have accomplished, has built the scaffolding of pride. But that's not what the focal point is intended to be. The focal point is intended to be what God has accomplished in our lives. What's beneath or behind the scaffolding, that's the focal point. Ken Blanchard said it like this: humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Scaffolding of pride can become easily the focal point in our lives when truly what we want to do is bring glory to the work of God in our lives. You see, the folks there at the Tower of Babel had it all messed up. They wanted pride. They wanted to make a name for themselves throughout the whole earth. And what the Lord wanted was humility. I wrote this down. A permanent scaffolding of pride in someone's life means that they're never through stacking story of accomplishment on top of story of accomplishment. They are constantly building something on top of what they've already done. The scaffolding indicates that they're not finished building their ego. our challenge, looking at those, looking at that Bible lesson, is that pride, as the writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 29 would have said, pride brings humiliation, but humility brings honor. Our goal is not to bring honor and glory and praise and attention to ourselves, but always to bring all of that and so much more to God Almighty. James Earl Massey said this. Let me share very briefly. He says, Jesus calls his followers to serve with humility. Why is this characteristic so central to Christian leadership? He answers. He says, number one, humility is essential because the graciousness of God is behind all our work and witness. If I could have preached this instead of what I just preached, I would have, had I not been accused of plagiarism. But I wanted to share it with you anyway. James Earl Massey said, humility is essential because the graciousness of God is behind all our work and witness. He refers to Paul in 1 Timothy, where Paul says, the Lord considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. Number two, James Earl Massey said, humility is essential because our gifts are limited. Again, referring to Paul in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, we're all part of a body. Each one of us has a gift. We don't all have the same gifts. We all have unique and different gifts. But all of our gifts together comprise the body of Christ. And so all of our gifts need to come together in order to make one complete body. Third, he says, humility is essential because individual effectiveness is limited. Every one of us cannot win everybody to the Lord. It's impossible because, again, we're all constrained. And people don't respond to the gospel in all the same way. And so different people with different gifts go out and explain the gospel in different ways, and people come to know Christ. Because individual effectiveness is limited. Number four, he says, humility is essential because our knowledge is limited. He refers to Paul again in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, we know in part now and we prophesy now in part. And so the way that we see ourselves is a diminished view. Our knowledge is limited. James R. Massey says, however much we may study and inquire, probe and think, we all know far too little to boast. And that's the truth, is it not? Lastly, he says, humility is essential because our time to live and serve is limited. Our days are numbered. Pastor Matt reminds us all the time of a verse in the Psalms that says that our days are numbered. Help us to number our days, because we know that our days, our time here on earth to live and to serve is limited. And so we need to be spreading the gospel, but we need to encourage the gospel so that it continues on after us. If our legacy dies with us, we have accomplished nothing. But if the legacy of the gospel of Jesus Christ lives on after us, we have accomplished everything. We have scaffoldings, sometimes built out of our own pride. But what the Lord wants is humility. He asks us to be humble so that He can honor us, so that He can lift us up. But when we choose to exalt ourselves and become prideful, the Lord will put an end to that. He will humiliate that and bring all of our pride back down to earth. But those who choose to live humbly and bring glory to God and further His kingdom, we are promised we will be given at that point honor. When we choose to leave our scaffolding of pride and come back down to the level of the humanity around us, that's when God is honored, that's when He is blessed, and that is when He will lift us up. Because our scaffolding is meant to be beneficial. It's meant to be a source of strength to the builder and the building. Our scaffolding is intended to be temporary, not permanent. It's intended to go away. And it's never been intended to be the focal point. Is it okay that you're proud of your kids or that you're proud of a certain accomplishment or a promotion? Is it okay that you're proud of something that you're doing or that you have a piece of handiwork that you've worked long and hard about and accomplished something dynamic? The question is that scaffolding temporary? Because it's never intended to be the focal point. The talents that God has given you, the ability to remember or to perform a certain task, those things were given to you by God. What you have and what you do is not to be the focal point. But what you have and what you do is intended to bring glory to God. Sometimes what we want to build is the scaffolding of pride, when the entire time God is seeking humility. And so I pray that as we think this week again about the Tower of Babel, a people who wanted to make a name for themselves throughout the whole earth, I pray that we would be challenged to run in the opposite direction. Accomplish great accomplishments. Do great things. But all for the glory of God. It's okay to be remembered. But always live God louder than yourself. As Pastor Matt comes, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who gave you everything. The Bible says that there was no greater accomplishment on the face of the planet than the propitiation or the settlement, the satisfaction of God's wrath against your sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. However you need to respond to the Lord tonight, we want to give you that opportunity. If you'll stand with me this evening, we're going to close in a word of prayer. As Pastor Matt comes, as Pastor Robert comes to lead us, you take this time to respond to God as He would call you. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this time. Lord, thank You for this lesson in the Tower of Babel. That, Lord, oftentimes we seek to build something for ourselves and to make a name for ourselves, when all the time You're calling us to humility, promising us honor if we will be humble, down to earth. Lord, I pray that if there is a scaffolding in our lives that needs to be torn down tonight, that it would happen. Lord, tear down our scaffolding so that we can bring glory to the focal point, Your work in our lives. Lord, forgive us where we so often want to bring glory and honor to ourselves. But God, thank You. Thank You when You honor us in our humility. Thank You for the greatest accomplishment on the face of the planet, all accomplished in a single man, Your Son, named Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You so much for this evening and the opportunity to glean truths from Your precious Word. Every word of Scripture is breathed by You. May we live it and may we love it. And this evening, Lord, may we respond as You have called us to. Quietly within our own hearts, here at the front on these steps of an altar, at our seat. Lord, may we continue to respond all this week through this morning's message and this evening's message. If it's in our office or in our cubicle or behind our desk or at our work or in our car or at our home. Lord, may we respond all week long. Lord, we give you this precious time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.